We're looking today at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And the first thing that we want to do is read these verses. So let's set our minds on 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Let's read the text, and then we're going to discuss what Paul is talking about in this very important passage of Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, Paul said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Now remember, in chapter 1 of this book, Paul got on to these Corinthians because they were putting too much emphasis on men. They were exalting men too much, especially preachers. And in this passage, we discover something very important about why people are sometimes misled by preachers. Sometimes people listen to the wrong men, they listen to false doctrine. And the reason that they're misled by preachers is sometimes because they trust in the preacher instead of trusting in God's Word. And the Bible teaches us over and over again that we must not do this. In Acts 17:11, the Bible says that Paul and Silas preached the Word in Berea. And the Bible says that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. The Bible tells us in Acts 17, verse 11, that those Bereans would not just take the word of Paul or Silas, they looked in their Scriptures. They looked in the Bible themselves to see if what those men were preaching was true or not. So they did not place their trust in a mere man. They put their trust in God's Word. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try," that is, test the spirits, "whether they are of God." Because, he says, many false prophets are gone out into the world. So what John is saying is you can't believe every teacher out there. You cannot believe everybody that says he's a preacher. You have to test what they're saying. You can't just take their word for it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible says, "Prove," that is, test all things, "and hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil." Now, why is it? And what is it about some preachers that some people will believe even when they're preaching something that is wrong? Well, again, they put their confidence in the man. But why is that? Why is it that people are drawn to a preacher and they will believe him even when he's saying something that is not true? Well, I believe that that's where this passage comes in. And it does so with Paul telling us that this is not the approach that he used. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, he says there are two things that he did not do. And these happen to be the very two things that many people are drawn to in a preacher, and that's where they go wrong. That's where they go down the wrong path. Number one, people are oftentimes impressed by the way that a preacher speaks. They're impressed especially if he's very eloquent, if he's a dynamic speaker, if he has a certain charisma about him, if he really acts like he knows what he's talking about and he is a good and maybe even a great public speaker. There are people that will believe that preacher even though he is telling them something that is absolutely false. Why? Well, it's because they're too focused on how he's saying what he's saying instead of listening to what he is saying. They're more concerned about how he says it than what he is preaching. And that is always a terrible mistake. So first of all, Paul says, I did not come to you with excellency of speech. Now, the word excellence here means excellence or superiority. It has to do then with a man who is really polished, a man who is really good at public speaking. And sometimes you'll find that false teachers are very accomplished at public speaking. Nobody can deny that they are great public speakers. But the Lord tells us not to believe a man just because he is a good speaker. Paul said, I didn't come with excellency of speech. I didn't come as a very accomplished, eloquent orator. Now, is Paul saying that if a man has the natural gift of eloquence, if he's just a natural-born public speaker, or if he's trained well and he has made it to the point that he is an accomplished public speaker because of his education and his training, that Paul is putting that down? Absolutely not. It all depends on what a man is saying. If a man is an eloquent speaker and he preaches the truth, then more power to him. That's great, because he's using his natural ability to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with being eloquent. Paul is not putting that down. And we know that because Apollos was an eloquent speaker. The Bible tells us that in Acts 18, verse 24. He was mighty in the Scriptures, and he was an eloquent speaker. So Paul is not saying it's a sin to be a good speaker here. He's not saying to be just as clumsy and monotonous as you can be, because if you have any ability whatsoever, you're not supposed to use it. Paul is simply saying to these people that he was not the greatest public speaker in the world. Paul, as a matter of fact, was even criticized by some of these people in the church at Corinth because he was not a refined, polished speaker. Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He could work miracles, but he did not have a natural ability to speak well before an audience of people. The Bible tells us that these Corinthians had criticized him because he was not the best speaker that they'd ever heard. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, here's what he says about what they had said about him. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Now, they're not talking about his speaking in private here. They're not talking about him just discussing or conversing with those people. They're talking about his public speaking. They're talking about him giving a speech in that sense or in preaching a lesson. They say it is contemptible. And that word contemptible simply means to make of no account, to despise utterly, to disdain so that it amounts to nothing. What these people were saying was is that Paul was just not a good public speaker, and they looked down on him because he was not as good, he was not as eloquent as other preachers were. It's very important here, and I think it's enlightening, to just read 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and 11 and 12 and also 13, because Paul is responding to some of this criticism. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, Paul asked the question to these Corinthians who were criticizing him, because first of all, his body was not what they expected it to be. He didn't have the strong appearance physically that they wanted him to have, and he was not a great public speaker like they expected him to be. So Paul asked them the question in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7, do you look on things after the outward appearance? And the answer, of course, was yes, they were. That was their problem. They were looking on the outside instead of looking on the inside. So let's get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1, and let's look at what Paul says. He says, first of all, when I came to you, I did not come with excellency of speech. Now, that's what a lot of people are looking for, and that's why many people are misled today. They listen to preachers who may be dazzling public speakers, but if you just listen to what they're saying, you'll find that it doesn't make any sense. And if you listen carefully, you'll see that it actually contradicts the Bible. So you have to go underneath those outward appearances. Paul also said, I did not come with wisdom. Now, he's already talked about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, where he says that he did not preach the gospel with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, the interesting thing here is that Paul was a very educated man. You'll remember that the Bible says that he was trained at the feet of the Rabbi Gamaliel, Acts 22, verse 3. And we know that Paul was a widely read man because of some of the quotations that he gives. When he was at Athens, the Bible says that he referred to what their poets said in Acts 17, verse 28. In Titus chapter 1, verse 12, he quotes one of the Cretan prophets. So Paul was an educated man. He had great wisdom. But Paul did not display or flaunt his wisdom. Even though Corinth was a town that looked for this kind of preacher, they looked for this high intelligence and great wide education in their public speakers, but Paul would not go along with that. Paul would not display all of his learning to them because that was not why he was there. Paul was there to preach the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he said in verse 2. He said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, Paul is not saying that he didn't share with them anything else about the gospel other than the fact that Jesus was crucified. He can't mean that, because that would even rule out his resurrection from the dead. Paul is summarizing the gospel here and the doctrine of Christ under the heading of the crucifying of Jesus Christ, because that's what it all centers on. That's what it all relates to. We know that Paul taught them much more than simply the fact that Jesus died on the cross. Paul was there with them for 1.5 years teaching the gospel to them. So he taught them about how to live the Christian life. He taught them about worship and about many other things. But his point in this passage is that instead of focusing on how a man says something, and instead of focusing on how much this man knows about earthly and worldly matters, we ought to ask the question, is he preaching the gospel? And if he is, we should listen to what he says. As a matter of fact, Paul said in verse 3, when I was with you, he didn't come there and he didn't present himself as somebody that was so confident about every matter in the world that he just exuded that self-confidence and that charisma. No, the Bible says in verse 3 that Paul said, when I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Paul is saying, you know that when I was there, I didn't try to act like an angel. I didn't try to act like that I was above being a human. He showed this human side of him in verse 3. And not only that, he emphasizes again in verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with these enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, because Paul worked miracles from the Holy Spirit. And he gave these Corinthians miraculous powers of the Spirit. And that was the demonstration that he's talking about here. And why did he do that? So that, in verse 5, your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And friends, it is the same way today. Our faith should not be in the wisdom of men. Any man, regardless of how good a speaker he is, regardless of how intelligent he is, regardless of how charismatic or dynamic he may be, the Bible says our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let us trust in God. Let us follow his word instead of following a man.